The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Objective failed. Survivor Series is this Sunday. And tonight we're going to talk about Survivor Series plus Raw, SmackDown. We got tons of news. Possibly a new wrestling federation opening by Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan.
Can't wait for that one.
Here tonight on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Thank you guys for joining us. It's almost December. It's almost Christmas time. Pro Wrestling Unscripted is the gift that keeps on giving, and we're going to give it to you tonight. Real good. Shannon Young here with you, Mr. 100, down at the end of the table, my very good friend, and the man that has really done more to keep this podcast in line than anyone else, Asa Gray. Hi.
Hi. I do want to take, just before we get to the rest of the introductions, I want to take a brief moment for a sincere, heartfelt apology to Allie.
Oh, God.
Because for those who listened to last week's episode, my parting words were meant entirely in my eagerness to take a shot at Dalton.
Yeah, he meant to insult Dalton.
I very much meant to insult Dalton, but I accidentally phrased it so poorly that it made it sound like I was taking just the biggest shot at Allie.
If I remember correctly, your exact words were, and Allie, like, thanks for showing up.
Yes, that is what it was.
You didn't have to say it again to make him feel worse.
He knows what he did.
You monster.
I hugged her after the fact and apologized profusely.
I'll tell you what. You introduce Allie for tonight, then.
For what?
You introduce
he
Allie.
He said, don't everyone point and laugh at him.
Allie for the
on
show.
On Shannon's right, on my left, the wonderful and lovely Allie, not actually Hebert.
Hello.
And Dalton's here.
And Dalton.
Yo.
Welcome back, Dalton.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good. We had a great CCW Live. It was a lot of fun. We made ourselves laugh.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. Why are you giving...
You want to pay attention to the show?
I am.
He's not playing.
I'm simming. Like, I just have to hit A every once in a while. Will Aquaman reach level 20 before the end of this show?
I hope not.
That's right. Dalton paid $60 to press A every once in a while.
Yeah.
On Injustice 2, and I'll get to do it whenever the Turtles come out. I'm going to have so much cool gear.
I love the Ninja Turtles.
Play for.
That's a different show.
I didn't pay for it either. Yeah, and it was free gear.
You did pay for it.
You bought the season pass.
Yeah, but the gear's free.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Talking about wrestling, let's jump into this with some sad news today. We lost a great. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but James Ellsworth released by...
You're making it sound like he died.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's still alive.
His mainstream career did. What is Jimmy Ellsworth doing in the Impact Zone?
Oh.
New TNA champion.
Oh, X-Division champ.
New X-Division champ. James Ellsworth.
If he can get to
Canada.
No,
it'll be Jim.
Is it James Ellsworth his actual name?
No.
Is it not really?
No, it's not.
Well, he did get released today. That is absolutely true. It's not really a huge shock because he was on a 1 year contract though.
Well, yeah, no, but he like just had a like this what could have been the start of a thing with the women's division attacking him.
That was the end of a thing.
That was the send off.
That was the end of a thing.
Which, by the way, I didn't see the SmackDown version of it, but I did see they did it at a live event too.
Yeah, they did it for an entire week.
They just did a series of shows, just women hitting finishers on him.
That Carmella super kick was super sweet. That was a sweet super kick.
James Ellsworth Morris is his name.
So he could go by James Ellsworth, probably.
Yeah, or just James Morris.
Some version of it, yeah.
Or, he probably needs to switch it up a little bit, so like James will be John, and then Morris is too... I don't know. Like, he probably wants to maybe change that up.
Maybe
so like
extend it.
Like Morrison.
Like John Morrison?
Yeah.
That's like a good name.
Yeah, that could work somewhere.
What do you think of that name, Allie? You think that would work?
Six.
Not so fine. Dalton said that James Ellsworth had a good career in WWE. And I both agree and disagree with that. Like, because I don't think he had a... You know who had a good career in WWE? Shawn Michaels. You know who had
a great career?
You know who had a 1 year career in WWE and never really amounted to much of anything other than a one-off joke? James Ellsworth.
Yeah.
But with that said,
yeah, but he
was on TV a lot. His stock rose. And he was especially in the beginning, was a main part of it. He did more in WWE than a lot of people will ever do. So I am torn on this.
Well, yeah, cause like when we were talking about it, I mean, I'm not happy that somebody lost their job, but for James Ellsworth, this is a very good opportunity. Like, And I think in the group chat I even said, I was like, well, I mean, he's going to be making more money elsewhere now. Like,
oh, yes. His rates already were, we know that firsthand, that the rates that he is giving independent bookers before he signed his contract with WWE were way higher.
Yeah. And he said that on Jericho's podcast.
Yeah.
But he's able to do this now. And I think Cody said, he was like, well, he's actually going to have to wrestle a match. No, he doesn't. All he has to do is go and be James Ellsworth. One, two moves tops, collect your paycheck, go home. But now, I'm not saying he will do that. I'm just saying he could make a good career doing that. Like, it's not like he was doink.
But I feel like, and the reason I say I don't know if I agree with you that he had a good career in WWE is because I feel like he wanted to do more. Because
he was mostly like a laughingstock. And
yeah, like he came in as that character that any man with two hands has a fighting chance.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He had a good character as like an underdog, and I get that he couldn't go very far with it because, I mean, not to be offensive,
I
swear,
he looks,
look at
you
him.
Think,
exactly.
Yeah, the way he looks, in which he's very
much. How far
much
was he going to go?
Yeah, and I mean, that was best case scenario for him was this last year.
205 Live.
We already have Enzo.
That's true.
And really, like, no, I think he did as well as he was going to do for what the contract. I don't think he had aspirations of, like, becoming a legit contender. I'm willing to bet they were very upfront with what his role was going to be within the company.
Yeah.
And to their credit, they made you question if he was going to become WWE champion more than once.
And he had some great moments. When he turned on AJ Styles.
When he turned on AJ Styles.
It was a great moment.
Him holding Braun's leg.
Yeah.
Oh,
even,
that was amazing.
Even if you're going to believe for a second that Braun can't just one leg deadlift.
It just throw him
pounds
out of the ring.
Yeah.
But Ali, let's talk about what he's most known for in your mind. You already look like someone ran over your cat because you know what I'm going to say here.
Mm-hmm.
James Ellsworth was the very first, technically the very first,
I'm not mad at him for this because he didn't write it.
He was doing his job.
Yeah. It's just like whenever you talk about what the company had given him, they gave him the first chance to grab the women's Money in the Bank contract.
Yep.
So you see where he stands and everyone else does.
Yeah. And really, in today's society, where we are as a people right now with all of the things that are happening in Hollywood and all of the people that are speaking up, and we're kind of going into a very, I'd like to think we're progressing into a very much an equal footing for people of all race, color, all that stuff, man, woman. So to have James Ellsworth be the first person to grab that title like that now is even more insulting. It's insulting. We were insulted by
it. Oh, yeah,
it.
We didn't. Like, and, but like Ali said, like, that wasn't his call. Like, that's not something that he's... But, you know, for his short time in WWE, his name is attached to a lot of big moments.
Yeah.
You know, he wrestled for the WWE Championship. There's people who've spent their entire career in WWE years who don't have that credit to their name.
Yeah. And I thought
he is, and he will forever be associated with that first ever Women's Money in the Bank match.
And
so he's done a lot of stuff. I very much feel like... This is the perfect time that, like, this, it ran his course. He served his purpose and he did it very well.
Yeah.
And now he is off to do whatever he wants. And, like, I wouldn't be surprised. I would be surprised if we never saw him again in WWE.
He'll come back possibly?
He can do, like, a surprise appearance thing.
Like Royal Rumble time? Yeah. Like, yeah, no, that's going to be perfect Ellsworth time.
In 2 years, like, him coming out at number 13.
Like, crowd pops.
Exactly.
Yeah. Super hard.
Yeah. And, you know, he got an action figure. He had a t-shirt. Like, he did good for himself. Like, and, you know, good for him.
But do you think, all right, and I know I'm splitting hairs on this. I wish I could say this the way I'm thinking it. But don't you think there's a difference between he did good for him, versus he had a good career in WWE?
I mean, if you're looking at it empirically, like, as if it was a real sport, then no. Like, yeah, he lost just about every match he was in. He was constantly embarrassed.
He was a joke.
The last thing we saw him do was get beat up by a group of women as he was being led around on a leash.
Who were much? Was he really?
Yeah.
For a while,
I didn't see the segment.
Carmella had him on a leash.
I will
at
say
least
that
once.
That
would you
last...
say he was a freak on a leash?
Probably not. But so, I mean, yeah. So if you look at it from, like, if you treat it like a sport, then no, he did not have a good career. He, like, embarrassed himself on national television.
But from an entertainer's point of view.
But for pro wrestling, then yeah, he had a good run with WWE. I wouldn't call it, the only reason I wouldn't call it a career is because it was a year.
Yeah.
Like, because it's not like he was some flash in the pan that they brought in off the street that didn't know wrestling. Like, dude has been wrestling for a long, long time.
He has his own promotion.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for him, this was less of a, oh, here's a chance for you to do wrestling, and more of a, here's a side project.
Here's something you get to do in the WWE.
On the main show. On the big floor.
Because, like, I mean, think of the people that have gone through NXT that didn't get to go on the main show.
Yeah.
Solomon Crow, Sami Callihan, he didn't get that.
Yeah.
James Ellsworth did. Speaking of which, the action figure. That was my, like, top concern after being like, well, I mean, he's going to get better independent pay now, is the fact that that Elite, which you already knew I was, like, going to look for,
right,
is going to suck to find.
Yep.
And I'm really upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to, like, I want it. I like James Ellsworth a lot. Like,
will you miss James Ellsworth in WWE?
I don't watch SmackDown as much, so it's one of those, like, I won't notice it as much.
This is one of those things where Jesse and I talk about Craig on Parks and Rec, where they use Craig had the potential to be the worst character on the series and just the most obnoxious human being ever, but they used him so sparingly, and it's just enough that you still enjoyed seeing him. That was kind of Ellsworth for me, except it was at the point where, especially now, the last couple months with the Carmella stuff, and it really started to, like,
drag on.
For me, anyway. Like, I get, like, there are people who are still super into it, and that's fine. I, like, but for me personally, I was starting to kind of wear thin. So, like, did I want him out of the company? No. Like Dalton said, like, it's never a reason to celebrate that someone lost their job. But if he was gonna go, this is a good time for it. He got, you know, an actual send-off, storyline-wise.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And in fairness, like, I even said last night, or last week, whenever I was watching, because I watched SmackDown last week, and I even said, like, I love this James Ellsworth angle, where he's just misogynistic to, like, Tamina.
Right.
Like, and just his like, the way he.
How he gets no moves, he gets no offense in on Becky.
Yeah, like, I think he put her in, like, a headlock or something like that.
There, I don't even know if he got that much.
No, because he got, like, he pushed her. Like, I remember there was some stuff. But yeah, no, it was. I just loved it, and I was like, man, I forgot how much I enjoy James Ellsworth, and then I saw it this week, and I was like, well, I'm happy I liked it when I did.
And there's a bunch of other stuff we have to talk about, so we'll move on from this, but I did love the two things that happened on Twitter about him, because one, he did put a really nice, like, heartfelt thank you to WWE and all that, which was nice to see.
Because I feel like no doubt that they let him go with a handshake and a, hey,
right,
good job, doors open.
Right, you know, keep your phone on,
right,
type deal. I loved last night after SmackDown, he tweeted, I was in the bathroom, what did I miss? and then just a couple hours ago, he tweeted something like, wait, Cass and Carmella were together this whole time? So he's like, yeah, no, like, stuff like that.
Oh.
Like, he did what they asked him to do amazingly. Like, he killed it.
So, you know,
a sweet guy.
And, like, Jericho's podcast talking about how he's just, you know, excited to be there and just wants to do.
Well, we met him in Delta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And talked to him, and he was a super nice guy and seemed
super
very
humble.
Very humble. Very, very appreciative. We took a picture with him, and he was a cool guy.
All right. I know he's released, and I know we got a couple more months for this to happen, but how great would it be if Big Cass re-debuts on SmackDown with Carmella, and the first person that tries to challenge him is Ellsworth? Just as a one-off.
Just
and then Cass just kills him.
Cass comes out with Carmella with Ellsworth pretending to be Enzo. He's Elzo.
Oh, that's way better than what I thought.
That was a missed opportunity. They could have held on to him for another few months until Cass gets better.
I assume Cass would come out with a pelt made from Enzo as a new cape.
As long as he has that stupid belt.
All right, moving on from Adam Sandler. Jack Swagger signs with Bellator as a heavyweight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now to call Jack Hager, right?
Well, that's his Jake Hager's his real name.
Jake Hager. Yeah. Jake Hager. He's going to be in the same. Did I read this wrong? He could possibly fight Bobby Lashley someday.
Potentially, because Bobby Lashley does fight for Bellator. But Bellator's doing a lot of different things with their heavyweight division right now. And I think it's one of those where it's just like, hey, this guy was a former collegiate wrestler.
Right.
He has a name with him. Cause that's Bellator's thing is they'll get whoever, like, they're the ones that had that really bad, Kimbo Slice versus the one dude that, like, couldn't stand up in the middle of the fight and, like, had a heart attack afterwards. I can't think of his name, but Bellator kind of is more of the, hey, look what we did here. We got this guy. They got CM Punk, but we got Jack Swagger.
Did you know Kimbo Slice is dead?
Yeah, but yeah. Kimbo Slice, like, one of his last MMA fights, I think, was in Bellator with.
I know, but a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry,
it's sad.
Sorry. Yeah.
But,
anyway, Hager is a big name. He is. I mean, he's not a huge name. He's no Punk.
Yeah.
But the difference is that he.
Well, draw wise, but like.
But he.
Legitimacy.
Experience wise.
In MMA, yeah. Like, he absolutely has that in spades.
Did you see the video he did?
No.
where he signed, so he signs the contract and he says, hey, this is former WWF wrestler or WWE wrestler Jack. It's amazing. 10 years after the fact, you still say WWF sometimes. Jake Hager signs his thing and he goes, he puts his hand over his chest and goes, we, the people.
Cause he still has all those shirts that WWE couldn't sell.
Right? Yeah, but I don't think he's going to be able to use that in Bellator. Obviously.
He still very much could.
I mean, he,
could he?
Cease and desist.
Bro?
Until he gets that, I don't think he's getting the Young Bucks attention on him though.
Do you, and I don't mean this as a shot at CM Punk.
I don't mean that as a shot. No, I just mean that as a statement of fact.
I don't mean this as a shot at CM Punk. But do you think that he will do better than Punk did in MMA? If nothing else, based on his already experience on a collegiate level.
And that's why, like, he's younger, not by a whole lot, but he's younger and he does have that collegiate, like, he was legit.
Yeah.
He was a legitimately great collegiate wrestler. Like, I don't think he was, like, he was never, like, undefeated or
he's
anything
not a
crazy.
Gold
like,
Olympic,
no, but he knows
Olympic
what he's
gold
doing.
But,
when
but
it
he,
comes to
he
that.
Very much has a very solid base. And as we progress in MMA, a lot of people who are being the most successful are wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like are amateur wrestlers.
Yeah, lock them up.
Because, like, between ground game, takedown, stuff like that, like, it's all very effective. And while, yes, some of the more impressive things to see are strikers and, like, knockouts.
They don't always win the match.
I'm not saying anything that being good at one particular skill is a good advantage to have. But it requires a hell of a lot more to that to succeed in MMA.
Cause that's the whole, and we're going to get into MMA a little bit, but that's the whole thing with Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. Of like, yeah, no, Brock Lesnar started in like 2005, 2004 in UFC in that time frame, or 2006, 2007, one of the two. But he like pretty much only had, like, he's gigantic, which in mixed martial arts and the heavyweight division is a big thing.
Right.
And he had just a really, really solid amateur wrestling background. Mm-hmm. And he did really well cause he's a crazy person, like the first five fights. Mir was the only person to get him on a knee bar, mm-hmm. Which Daniel Bryan brought up really. That was fun. But the second he had to face people that knew how to
counter a wrestler,
Alistair Overeem, stuff like that.
Yeah,
he got messed up pretty bad. Like, his wins were great, but his losses were gross.
It's important to be well rounded. That's the reason that I think that you don't see a lot of boxers in MMA,
no,
specifically
yeah.
for boxing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, but that's like, why they keep them separated.
Yeah, and that's why Ace is absolutely right. The good thing about amateur wrestling is if you know how to hit hard, like if you can just learn how to punch and kick, you at least have a puncher's chance. But if you know how to like defend a takedown or, you know, get a takedown or maybe choke somebody out, you have a lot better than somebody just knows how to punch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a well-rounded fighter will always do better.
And it also kind of depends on who Bellator is less protective with their names. So like CM Punk, when he fought Mickey Gall was a relative nobody.
Right.
When in terms of USC, and I don't mean that as a shot to him.
Because he's a great fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you, there is a certain level of skill you have to be able to make it to the UFC.
Right.
Like they're not just pulling Joe Schmo off the street.
Right.
I don't think Bellator will hide. I don't think they would just kind of feed people Jack Swagger. Like I think, or I messed that up. I don't think people will just feed, Bellator won't just give no name fights to Swagger.
To build him up.
I think Swagger's first fight will be against an up and coming, like someone who is on the cusp of ready for a championship.
Fight. Yeah.
Has it been announced who he's supposed to fight?
No, he just signed a contract.
Cause he's supposed to make his in-ring debut in 2018
next
sometime.
Yeah.
So.
Also heard Punk is going to fight again. But
I mean, from everything
he has
said,
a contract.
Yeah, well, he has a contract, but also he's said, like, even losing, he still wants to.
Well, from what I understand, it wasn't a UFC fight, though. It was a smaller fight, like a, I don't know the correct terms for it. Like, not a farm league or anything like that, but like, they were gonna give him, like, not as a high profile match on, like,
a
the
big
show.
Like,
yeah.
He won't be like a big drawing.
He'll be on the
like
undercard.
They'll want him to, like, build himself up.
I said the word for you.
What, undercard?
Undercard.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, prelims, undercard, main card.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Eric Bischoff for a second. Because Eric Bischoff, he was teasing something. And everyone's going crazy about this, talking about Eric Bischoff's getting back into wrestling. And he is now a co-owner of the Cleveland Knights Championship Wrestling Organization. And, like, I don't know enough about this to truly go, this is not a non-thing. Because it might be. But it doesn't seem like as big of a deal as people are saying, Asa. Like, this is not, he is not going to show up on cable TV next week to go against WWE, which is what a lot of people are going, the Monday Night Wars are back on.
That was the big joke, is like, he announced that that's what he was doing. from what I've seen, it is a relatively new wrestling promotion. I actually don't know that. I meant to look more into it a while back, but a lot of people are making fun of this and are kind of down on it because of their assumption. When Bischoff was making that big the tease on Twitter, everyone thought that this was going to lead to him partnering with Corgan with NWA. Uh-huh.
Right.
And then it was announced that it's not that, it's Cleveland Knights Championship Wrestling. And everyone's like, well, I don't know what that, well, that's got to be nothing. And then they immediately bring, oh, he's going to bring in Hogan and the barber is going to.
Well, no, they don't like each other anymore.
Gonna,
yeah, barber
win the championship.
No,
and
Brian
that,
Knobs
so.
Will. Because yeah, that's the
so,
nasty boy.
I mean, I think it's. It's I don't good. Know. I don't know that much about the promotion, so I can't speak to like how big it is, or like who the names are there, or if it's something. If it's something like CCW, where they have their own guys and they tell ongoing stories month to month, or if it's more of a PWG where they just bring in people. Because I've seen some pictures and it looked like the Road Warriors had been there and other stuff. So.
And he may be moving this toward a national deal. Like this could be him starting
yeah.
something.
And this could be just him finding a up and coming promotion that he wants to. Help guide. Hopefully he has learned from the many mistakes that have been made
along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so don't take it away from Eric Bischoff. I mean, we of course down him for the TNA thing because that was a mistake.
And WCW.
And it, well, a part of it. But you can't take away how good he was in WCW and what he meant to WCW.
But at a certain point, do you have to look at the end result that weighs more than...
You definitely do, but I also don't think it was entirely his fault.
Oh, no, it absolutely... I'm not saying, like, all of the blame rests solely on Bischoff's shoulder,
so,
but, like...
So, a lot of people were waiting at the end that Bischoff was going to be the savior, that he could have saved them, but then they took away his TV deal. They basically said, you can have the library, but that's it, and that's when he declined. He took his money out. Vince McMahon bought it for all of that, and then we know what happened to WCW after that. But Dalton, go ahead, before I get
what
too
are,
into this.
What are you... When you say Eric Bischoff and great, what are you?
I'm not even talking about from a like storyline standpoint. I'm talking about strictly behind the scenes office stuff.
As a business person and like as like somebody that wasn't a wrestler, like didn't come from a wrestling background and didn't like really know that as much. He was a great promoter because he got WCW where it was.
He did.
Now I'm gonna put a big caveat on that with it's a good thing that he had Ted Turner's checkbook.
Oh, it was, but at the same time, like he. Before he had Ted Turner's checkbook. I mean, if you watch the DVDs, and a lot of this, of course, is that we weren't there, so we just have to take
yeah,
his word on
and,
it. But like, he turned it around. He made money where they weren't making money before. Even before he was on TV and before they signed Hogan and stuff
yeah.
like that. The problem with Eric Bischoff, I think, and this is just me saying it, is when he did find the success, it really went to his head. Anytime you put yourself in the main, like, group, and you put yourself that over in that group, clearly success has gone to your head.
Yeah.
He's given out blank checks to Hogan. He's given blank checks to people left and right. That definitely caused the end of WCW. But also, if he has learned from his mistakes, he could be so good for the wrestling community now.
Yeah. And it's, and like, I'm not downplaying.
I'm a big Eric Bischoff fan.
And I get that. And it's one of those, like, I don't want to downplay Eric Bischoff and WCW, but whenever you are working off of like, all right, it was Jim Crockett Promotions. Ole Anderson, I think it was Ole, didn't know, like, decided to make it a super old school promotion and be like, yeah, no, they can't jump off the top rope if they're thrown.
I remember that. Yeah.
If they're thrown over the top rope, they're disqualified. Like, yeah. He had so many BS rules.
Stupid
and then,
rules.
And then the second he leaves and it's like Eric Bischoff be like, well, you're starting at ground one with a good roster to begin with. And then you start signing all these ex-WWF guys. Like, you only can go up from there. And did they have some really cool things? And like, I will say, like, he was the person that was poaching talent from ECW and bringing in luchadors and stuff like that. That was a good call.
Well, I'm not even talking about the stuff you see on the screen. I'm even talking about like he said, he cut costs, office supplies, little things like that. Like everywhere he could, he made it profitable. And that really was the upswing WCW needed to be. Cause I mean, think about it.
And he looked at Japanese wrestling too. Like he was a trailblazer in his time, but he let success go to his head. And I just want to know what you thought. Cause I hated the on-screen aspect of him.
I didn't understand it at the time. when I was watching WCW when I was in my teens, I didn't know the backstage stuff. Like, I didn't have the internet or anything like mm-hmm. that. So I just watched the TV program. I thought Eric Bischoff was a great bad guy. Like, when he come out with his leather jacket and he was like smiling and pointing at me.
Yeah.
He was so smarmy.
He was what Coachman was for me.
Yeah.
Cause like, as a kid, like, and like, even as a teenager, I hated Coachman.
Yeah.
I could not stand Coachman. I hated everything about him. I hated him on commentary. I hated him in an authority role. I hated everything about Jonathan Coachman. And then I look back now, and I'm like, Coachman was amazing.
Yeah.
And that was Bischoff for me. When I, growing up, like as a kid, watching Bischoff every week, I couldn't stand, he was just such a smarmy, smug D-bag, and I hated him. And now I look back on those performances, like I remember being actually angry.
Yeah.
When Vince McMahon brought him in as the GM of Raw.
Like, he was that good.
So I didn't know who he was.
I was that kid that, like, when it happened mm-hmm. and Eric Bischoff walked on the screen, I went,
there's no way.
Oh my God.
There's no way. How is it? Yeah. So,
yeah.
But looking like, so yeah, I like him as an on-screen role. I think he gets more credit than he deserves because he came up with the NWO and that's it.
He didn't even come up with the NWO.
Like by himself.
It was a Japanese idea.
It was a Japanese idea that he just brought.
But he was able to Americanize it and make it mainstream. So, yeah. And I won't take that away from him. But outside of that, it's hard to really kind of pinpoint the great ideas he's had. And I get like why people like him, and he overall, like, I think he did well. It's just,
yeah, and
old habits die hard, and we saw that happen at TNA, and we saw it happen in WCW, yeah. So it's...
I want to stress this again. I am completely talking about Bischoff on the most basic office supervisor level. Like, just... I think his greatest accomplishment in WCW wasn't the NWO. I think it was just turning around a company that made no money to a company that was profitable. Like, whether he, you know, just the stuff that he did.
They were beating the WWF.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say before we start talking about this was, in all of the years that we've watched wrestling, all the promotions we've seen come up, there has never been a competitor, never once been a competitor in the United States to the WWF except for WCW during those years. That's mm-hmm. it. That's the closest we'll ever get. I don't think anyone will ever do it.
I completely agree.
This version of Bischoff will beat him. As long as WWE stays relevant like they are, they will never be taken over by another organization.
Cause that was the whole thing is like, yeah, no, he was ballsy up front and that's why he was able to get the lead. But the second WWF was just like, no, you can't throw our belt in. That's a lawsuit.
So, Ali.
That's a lawsuit. That's a law. Like, they lawsuited Bischoff to death.
So, WCW was live. WWF was taped at the time. Eric Bischoff would read the results for WWF on WCW's show and tell you, no need to turn the channel now. You already know what's going to happen.
Wasn't it Schiavone?
Because
they're the night that Mick Foley won the WWF championship.
They spoiled it.
They read, it's like, oh, well, Mick Foley wins the WWF championship. That'll put butts in the seats. That was the first week after how long of a stretch?
It was like almost a year.
It was almost like, if not more than a year, of WCW beating WWF in the ratings.
And
that was
badly.
That was the first night that WWF won in the ratings, and they never lost again.
Yeah.
That was the last week that WCW.
Because what went from being like really edgy television, because some of that television was good. The NWO storyline starting off mm-hmm. was so good. But what started off as edgy, great storylines eventually, and they said in all the DVDs, is like week after week, more people would show up in NWO limos. WCW never stood a chance. Who wants to watch that?
Right.
Who wants to watch you get your ass kicked over and over again?
When it's an hour and a half of WCW sucks. The name of the show we're on is awful, running down the show that they're on.
Scott Steiner.
Oh, we watched that video.
Is the worst person in history. And his promos where he was just like, this company sucks.
Yeah.
Is like, that's what you want to do. You want to tell people watching your show that your show sucks.
Him chasing around J.J. Dillon.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Like, it's legitimate. Just like, I don't know if he actually wants to punch this old man or
J.J. Dillon was literally trying to say something on the mic to further the angle, and Steiner wouldn't let him. He was chasing around like he was going to beat his old ass. Old ass bitch. Yeah.
Ooh. No, so anyway, going back to Bischoff, though, like, we talk about whenever Impact or TNA or whatever it is this week throws the shots at the bow of like, oh, they mentioned WWE. And then we're like, that's stupid. Do you remember when Bischoff got ridiculous? Allie, I'm not kidding. He descended from the ceiling on a motorcycle and challenged Vince McMahon to a fight at their pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Not a wrestling match, a fight.
A fight.
And then at the pay-per-view, he had a sheet with pictures of like Vince and The Rock and Triple H on it and was saying, if you see these people, don't, you know, let me know. they weren't going to show up.
Right.
That's so stupid.
And like Bischoff talking about it in interviews, like, no, he's right. What would have happened if Vince would have showed up? Well, he probably kicked my ass. But you know how great of TV that would have been?
On the Monday Night War DVD, Bischoff.
He even said, he was like, yeah, no, I was ready to get an ass beating.
Yeah, Bischoff said, Hogan asked him, like, what are you doing inviting Vince? He's like, no, I let him come in. And Hogan told him, he's going to kick your ass.
And he's like, fine, it'll be good TV.
But you know what? Vince probably would have got his ass beat because Eric Bischoff was like a legit black belt in karate.
I'm going to put my money on Vince.
At a certain point, size makes more of a difference than skill.
Ooh, you know what? That's the MMA fight I wish we could have got.
Vince
versus Bischoff in an MMA fight.
An early UFC?
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, when there were no rules?
Yeah. Ooh.
Ooh. Kick him while he's down on the, like, just stomp the back of his head while he's kneeling. Yeah.
Front of his head, back of his arm, and the crotch. Mm-hmm. Do what you need.
Go for the joints.
I think that was the one rule in early UFC is you can't hit him in the balls.
Oh, that is brutal. All right, let's move on from Eric Bischoff. India shows now a, all right, India so shows, the thank you.
The India tour, the India tour that WWE was doing, has changed from a week long event to a couple shows to now it's just one big super show.
Mm-hmm.
Which the main event is going to be Triple H versus Jinder Mahal.
So you think this has something obviously to do with them putting the title off Jinder, taking
Not
the title
off
Jinder?
Apparently, like, Meltzer, cause a lot of speculation has been going nuts since Jinder lost the championship. Did he get suspended? Is he injured? All the, like, which that's just BS. Like, that stuff is stupid. You're just being petty.
Yeah.
If you're reporting that stuff.
Wellness policy.
Apparently this was something like already kind of in the works. And Jinder's performance doesn't have anything to do with him as champion or him not being a champion anymore. Apparently the big deal where the prices for tickets were crazy high for what the income is over there.
Mm.
And so a lot of people weren't able to afford multiple tickets to go. So instead they are now consolidating this into one just big super show that as many people can potentially go at once.
I know this.
Jinder Mahal is still the main event. I don't know what the other matches on the card are for that.
I was going to say, I know wrestling's scripted, and I know this really doesn't matter, but it would be kind of cool Jinder Mahal to beat Triple H in India.
I bet he will.
He has to.
I 100% think
the way Triple H is, I would be willing to say
Triple H will put Jinder over in India. And that just, again, I know it's scripted and all that, but if you're Jinder Mahal and you beat Triple H in front of the crowd in India, that's gotta be a cool feeling. That's just gonna be cool. Anyway.
I think my favorite thing of Triple H's recently was the Shield match on an indie show.
Mm-hmm.
And the suicide, the not so suicide dive.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Yeah. Triple H and the Shield, boy, that's a hoot.
I didn't say it was good booking. I said that was fun.
Bischoff booked that crap. Anyway, Kenny Omega says he is 100% staying with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Damn you, yes. Trimboli.
Son of a bitch.
100%.
Is this disappointing or is this good news?
It's good news. Like, I would love to see Omega in WWE, but...
Sort of.
I would genuinely like to see him in WWE with what they've done with, like, Owens and AJ. I think that he would be treated well. Like, I mean, yeah, there's not, like, you have the Nakamura argument that maybe not, but there's honestly, I feel like Kenny would try harder than Nakamura is. And maybe I'm out of line for saying that, but there it is. But no, so he considers New Japan his home. He works so hard to elevate it as much as possible. And
he's
now
built a legacy there.
Yeah. And so for the time being, like, yeah, I'm happy that he's staying there.
I don't know if I read this. I saw the headline, but Jericho said that his match with Omega would not have the same impact if it was at WrestleMania as it will at Wrestle Kingdom.
100%.
Yes, and it's because Wrestle Kingdom 12, this is a marquee match. That is a legitimate marquee match. WrestleMania 12, or WrestleMania 30, what are we on, 5 now?
It's WrestleMania. Just say WrestleMania.
If it was at WrestleMania, it would be the third match on the show.
Yep.
It would have to fight with Lesnar killing somebody.
Two world championships.
Well, even if it was the main event, it still wouldn't have the same impact.
Well, but it's because they wouldn't give, like, but I don't see WWE giving them the main event anymore.
The difference
is about a third of the people watching WrestleMania would know who Kenny Omega is.
Right.
At WrestleMania, a third of that crowd knows who Kenny Omega is and knows who Chris Jericho, and everybody knows who Chris Jericho is. At Wrestle Kingdom, 100% of the people there know who both people are.
Yeah. And respect them and love them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yes, the Japanese crowd is completely different than what you see at American wrestling crowds.
Which is good.
I mean, it's different.
It's different. I would love to go to like a New Japan show in Japan.
I would too. That would be amazing.
Because like, so Ali, and I don't know how much you know about Chris Jericho, but the equivalency.
His real name's Chris Irvin.
Irvine.
Shit. Thank you. The like Jericho coming to New Japan is the equivalent of The Rock coming back for like the WrestleManias. Because Jericho was a very, very well-known popular name in like Japanese wrestling for a while before he went to WCW. So like the fact that he is coming back now is, and like not under WWE.
Yeah.
Like this is a very big deal.
Did he wrestle under a mask in Japan?
I think briefly.
Because for I keep while, thinking I mean, Pegasus Kid, but I know that was Benoit.
That was Benoit. Black Tiger Mask was Guerrero.
He was like, there was some kind of play on Lion.
Oh, was, well, that was also Mexico, where he would wrestle under a hood sometime in Mexico.
No, but in Japan also. Yeah. Because, like, when he teamed with one of the owners or the, like, head bookers of New Japan now was his tag team partner.
Yeah.
I can't remember his
name. But, yeah, no, like, Jericho showing up, and I don't know if you guys touched on this last week, but, like, Jericho showing up in Japan is a welcome, like, he will get a hero's welcome coming back.
Wait, did you not listen to last week's show?
Well, I didn't know if we touched on Jericho's Japanese past.
If you listened to it, you'd know we did.
It's been a week, and it was a busy week last
Remember
week.
Everything.
All the time.
But yeah,
this is going to be a huge match. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, Asa, you got it written on here. Wrestle Kingdom 12 floor seats almost sold out, on track to be the best-selling Tokyo Dome wrestling event in 12 years.
And the reason that this is newsworthy is because these floor seats are usually selling pretty consistently, like through the end of the year into early into the year. So, like, this is... So you have the marquee match of Omega versus Alpha versus Omega, Jericho versus Kenny Omega.
It's a great tag.
You have Naito versus Okada.
Oh. That's a great match.
You have Cody Rhodes is wrestling. Oh, I can't remember who Cody Rhodes is wrestling.
Young Bucks versus
Roppongi 3.0.
Roppongi 3.0.
Or Roppongi 3K, I think is what they're called. It's going to bug me who Rhodes is wrestling. But and then Marty Scurll will be there, but you have Jay White coming in as Switchblade to wrestle for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Like, this is a stacked show. Like, this is a card that they've been building to for a long time, and this is their WrestleMania, and they are treating it that way. Every match could be a main event, but you know, good on Kenny Omega, because someone asked him, like, do you think your match...
Kota Ibushi is who Cody wrote.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
I knew it was huge, and I was like, that's why it was killing me that I couldn't remember it.
I've mentioned it to him. We need to figure out when it's airing live.
Okay. Again, it's going to be airing at like a crazy time in the morning.
So we need to figure out when it's airing live. I will pay for it. We just got to all get like cut in
the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you can do that. Like you can watch it online.
Can you stream it later?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have the network.
Like, I
want to
watch
Japan
it live,
network.
But I really want to know what time it is in Japan versus what time it'll be here.
I mean, you'll find that out, but I don't think it's super crazy.
No, but I very much remember waking up at Beast in the East at like 3 a.m. to watch Owens versus Balor. So if I'm going to do that for Balor and Owens, I will happily do that for Kota Ibushi and Cody, all those other matches, and then Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho. I am not going to not watch that live.
This show feels bigger than WrestleMania.
Arguably for pro wrestling and not sports entertainment,
when WrestleMania had more excitement behind it than this. And if you guys can come up with something like that, then I'm sorry for saying it.
WrestleMania 1?
No, I mean like recently.
Oh,
like,
well,
like
all
WrestleMania
right,
that
fair.
We've all been 30... like, oh my god, this is going to be the greatest thing ever, as opposed to us going, I mean, there's some good stuff here, but.
I would say 30, but they kind of shot themselves in the foot with that a lot, with like the whole, oh no, it's going to be Batista Wharton. No,
you. Threat.
Yeah, that. I would have said 30 if it wasn't for that.
The last WrestleMania that I can remember 100% loving, and I still go back and watch it sometimes this day, was 17.
Well, yeah, like,
25 was really good.
I'm not saying loving, like just being excited for it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's what you just said, more hype.
And I'm really sad that I wasn't alive / I was too young to realize, like, WrestleMania 1 or, you know, Hogan versus Andre, Hogan versus Warrior. Like, because I imagine as a kid, I would have been so jazzed
for
that.
What was it? X8, Hogan versus Rock. I think that was 2002. I was 10 years old. I didn't understand the ramifications. Like, I did not understand how important that was.
You were like, The Rock's awesome. Who's the hot dog?
Yeah, I didn't know who Hulk Hogan was.
Oh, that's so crazy to think there are people who don't know who Hulk Hogan is.
I mean, I was 10 and I didn't watch WCW.
Yeah, I got gotcha.
And I'm willing to say I had Hogan figures. Like, I'm willing to say I probably did.
You did, but you didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
Like, who's this guy with the skin of a hot dog?
I didn't know who Sting was.
And the hair, the silken hair like a Chinese man.
Is he having a seizure of strength?
Of strength. Of stink, yeah.
That too.
Also, someone asked Kenny Omega if he thought his match with Jericho is going to be the main event or should be the main event. He said no. It should be the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Like, that is the main event of the Tokyo, of Wrestle Kingdom, of Tokyo Dome every year. And I love that.
Yeah. Well, he's very
right.
Curious.
No, he's 100% right. But also, like, someone could absolutely say that you could make the argument that at Wrestle Kingdom 12, that is a main event match.
Right.
I don't think there would be many people complaining that if that match was the main event. But for Kenny Omega to have such respect for the company and for that championship.
For tradition.
For tradition to be able to stay, to just say, oh no, like, they deserve that spot.
Because I hate every time. I know it's different in America, but every time the title is not the main event,
it's a pet peeve.
When CM Punk is wrestling Chris Jericho for the title and it's like three matches away from the main.
Right.
That's so frustrating.
Was it 28 or 29 when Daniel Bryan lost in
7 seconds?
Seconds. That was the opening match. That was for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yep.
Now, to be fair, it did a lot for his career moving on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not the argument.
But right. But the argument is how they treated the actual championship.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Because that never would happen with Hogan.
Because
Hogan never would have fought for the title in the opening match.
Hogan wouldn't have allowed there to be two heavyweight championships.
Well, he would if he had them both.
Fair.
Yeah. I think
or Budai had the other.
WrestleMania 19 did a really good job where there was two world titles. It was Triple H and Booker T. And I think they had the Miller Lite Cat Fight Girls versus Stacey Keibler and Tori Wilson, and then Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle. But you can't put those back to back.
Back up for a second. Did you say the Miller Lite Girls?
We got other stuff to talk about.
Okay, that's blowing my mind right now. Japan Pro Wrestling.
Two more things.
Two more things. Yeah. Wow.
There's a lot of New Japan news this week.
They signed a TV deal in India.
Yep. It's going to be on the same network as Lucha Underground and ROH.
That's sweet. And they have hired they've started doing English subtitles on backstage interviews.
Yes.
That's really good.
So now I'm not entirely sure if that is.
Because I speak English.
Yes. From the way that I read this article, and I'm sorry if I'm getting this wrong, please correct me on, like, when we post this on Facebook.
Barry.
I think it's whenever you get New Japan World, I think if you go back and, like, if you're watching something live, they've started subtitling stuff now. I don't think it's if you go back and watch past stuff. And I'm not 100% sure if it is, like, all of the new Japan World. I'm not 100% sure how it works.
But that would
I just
be
know
nice.
That it's something that they have started doing because they are pushing hard with this Western expansion.
And thank I'm God. All for it. Yeah. Because I love everything I've seen from New Japan, I've fallen in love with.
If 4 years ago you would have said that, you know, TNA was not going to be the number two wrestling promotion in the world, it's like New Japan is what's going to be nipping at WWE's heels, I wouldn't have believed you.
Right. Ever since Wrestle Kingdom 10.
Mm-hmm.
They've been pushing
hard. Styles
versus... That was Styles Nakamura. That's whenever. And I mean, I've been watching New Japan for...
That's when you introduced me to it.
Yeah. And I mean, I watched them maybe a year or two before that, where I just got into it. And
it was one of those things where it's like, I was always familiar with it and I would maybe catch a match when it got posted on YouTube, but I wasn't familiar with like who was there.
Well, what happened with me was the whole like early college, I would watch WCW and they I will give Bischoff credit. They brought in Japanese wrestlers a lot.
Well, they traded too.
They traded. Yeah. They traded off. And it's just like, I want to figure out what this Japanese wrestling thing is. And like my friend Andy, he introduced me to a lot of it.
Yeah.
And then like for years, I would just catch as much as I could. And then, Wrestle Kingdom 10 was when it hit full force.
I knew that a lot of American wrestlers had gone to Japan and been very successful. Hogan was huge in Japan.
Yep.
He was really big. Stan Henson, Vader. Like a lot of people were in Japan. Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit.
Right.
But I never knew the Japanese side of it. Like, I knew Great Muta, because of WCW. I knew Great Muta. I knew Ultimo Dragon. Ultimo Dragon was one of my favorite wrestlers when I was growing up.
Thunder
Kazuyashi.
Jushin?
Jushin Thunder Liger, yes.
That's the big one.
So, this is very cool that it's become such a big thing here in the United States, because they're doing so many good things over there.
Yeah.
Whereas we are not over
and they're,
here.
And they're successful as hell, too, because 2017 is their second most profitable year ever.
Good.
Their revenue's up 21%.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And kudos all around. 100%. Son of a bitch. Ever since that stupid ass show, I've been saying 100%.
You mean the great show, American Vandal.
But yeah, no, Global
such
is
a sad ending though.
Yeah.
Very depressing. We'll talk about it after the show.
But yeah, no, globalization has been awesome for wrestling fans. Like, if you're a wrestling fan and you want to get more wrestling that's not WWE, you have options. Yeah. Are they a little bit more annoying to get a hold of than WWE is? Yes, but if it's worth it.
If you love something enough, you'll find a way to make it work.
And it's so good. Like, there's so many great talents out there, and just New Japan is just oozing.
You know my love of Kota Ibushi.
Mm-hmm.
Kota Ibushi versus Cody Rhodes. Is it for the Ring of Honor title?
Yeah. Apparently the original plan before Jericho was involved is it was going to be Omega versus Ibushi.
Oh, that'd
which
be
that,
great too.
That's been
an ongoing feud for years.
Right, that's been just its own story, which they can revisit at any point. So I'm not super sad that we're missing that this year. Yeah.
So incredible. Speaking of people leaving, we mentioned Ellsworth earlier. I didn't know this until I just read it. Jonathan Coachman left the ESPN.
Yep. He officially announced that he was leaving the company on Twitter. Someone asked him like when we can see you on TV again, or are you going to have more of an online presence? And he said he has an announcement to make in the future. So
probably not WWE related.
I mean, it would be cool. I would love to see him go back because.
He's earned so much legitimate praise for his work with ESPN because he's so good.
Yeah,
on ESPN.
He did really well with ESPN. I'm willing to bet he's going to do his own thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Like
maybe a podcast, maybe a web show, something like that.
Something like that.
Better
so
be on podcast one.
Because nowadays, like I know we joke about the podcast that we do and stuff, but we've been very successful with it. It's a new world where you don't have to have a deal to get your voice out there.
Well, and more people are finding success with like Patreon and stuff like that. So, you know, I talk about them a lot, the Kind of Funny guys when they split from IGN to start their own thing. It started with a much rockier start than I'm sure they'd like, but Cultaholic, splitting off of What Culture Pro Wrestling.
It's been okay. I've been watching their videos.
Okay. I didn't even know they had launched yet.
Yeah. They launched when they said they were going to.
When I say rough start, I mean the stuff with Adam.
No, but I'm just saying it's been like, I still follow both and it's the same.
But these are companies that where people with established names can take the goodwill that they've earned through this other platform and crowdsource their own and make their own living making their own shows.
It was like Kickstarter with video games. Kojima. But I was thinking of Igarashi when he left Konami and, you know, did for the Castlevania, or when Irafune left and did Mega Man's
Mighty Number 9.
Yeah, it didn't come out great, but you get what I'm saying.
But he got $1 billion from it.
Garriott when he did, when he left EA and went and did Shroud of the Avatar. Yeah. If you have a name, you can make money that way.
Yeah, people will pay to support you to make the content that they consume and want to see your perspective on. And it's, you know, they have a huge advantage because they have all of this like insider availability, so they can bring in famous people in that world to, you know, and Coachman has best of both worlds. He can bring in sports people and he, you know, still has that working relationship with WWE. He can bring in wrestlers. So that's what I think he's going to do. And that would be cool.
Allie, you grew up in the Disney era, right? Like Disney TV.
Yeah.
Can you sing Best of Both Worlds by Hannah Montana?
Yeah.
Will you?
No.
Okay. Well, that was worth a shot. Can you give us your brawn?
Brawn.
So good.
Uncanny.
How does she do that? John Cena's getting a statue in West Newbury.
Yeah.
Newbury.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It took me a lot of time to figure out if this was a prank or not, because apparently the flyer the person found while they were there, like, looks super shady, but apparently this is real. Like, it turns out West Newbury is like 12 people and just farmland. Like, it's not, you know, everyone says Boston, so you think big sprawling city of Boston.
Right.
It's not that.
Right.
So,
also
John Cena
statue
is unquestionably the
best thing.
The hometown hero.
The biggest name to come out of there.
The statue will be made out of mud.
Well,
no,
I mean,
it's,
and chicken
it's
feces.
Just, the easy jokes are it's just going to be a pedestal because you can't see him.
Son of a biscuit.
Oh,
there's a picture on Reddit. It's like, oh wow, look at this incredibly lifelike Funko Pop. And it was the John Cena
box.
Pop, but it was just the box.
That's awesome.
That's cool. Impact, now officially a Canadian based company.
Yep.
Most importantly, it's still a company.
I mean, it's gonna be.
Impact has been, TNA and TNA by association has been around for so long at this point, I didn't even realize that they've been around for like over 15 years.
I think they started in 2000, right?
Before they came back, Kurt Angle was in TNA longer than he was in WWE.
Yep.
The Dudley Boys were in TNA longer than they were in ECW and WWE.
Uh-huh.
Like, they've been around for a very long time.
They have.
And, you know, people who you associate with these other promotions didn't have them as long as TNA did.
Right.
So it's...
And people still treat TNA like it's a fly-by-night organization.
Yeah, I mean, and...
And I get it, because they've always had... It's been tumultuous with their money. But at the same time, like, at this point, maybe let's not sing their doom song every 2 weeks.
Right. And this is not a bad thing. They have found a venue that they can operate out of, seemingly without breaking the bank. Honestly, them getting out of the Impact Zone is a godsend, because those crowds were atrocious for a while. Like, they got real bad, like NXT Full Sail bad.
Yeah.
They've had kind of a talent purge, which is rough, but really you can argue that this is an opportunity to bring in new people and really build up the names that you have, like start from scratch again, because yes, they absolutely dropped the ball with several of these talents that they had at their disposal.
But they still have EC3?
They still have EC3.
Alberto Del Patron,
Johnny Impact's there.
I shuddered too.
They have people that they can work with, you know, Sammy Callahan.
Yeah.
Just joined up with them. They have the Chris brothers, Conan's there with LAX. Like, they have the tools to be successful. It's just after that Bound for Glory makes me so...
Anything with El Patron.
Is Conan part of Impact now? Oh, okay.
He's been part of the LAX act since they came back.
All right, okay. So we're going to talk about Raw and SmackDown and Survivor Series. But before we do, I'm just curious. Who do you miss most from TNA that's not there anymore?
Like in TNA or...
That was in TNA.
Like miss them in TNA?
Yes. Like, who do you miss seeing in TNA?
Didn't James Storr just leave?
I don't know if that's been confirmed or not. But the rumor is that James Storm is
gone.
Is finished out with his Impact contract. But again, that's unsubstantiated. We're not 100% sure that's
okay.
Legit.
I remember reading about it, so I didn't know.
I think that was rumored at like the last set of tapings, and they like wrote him out. But I don't know if that means he's just done or
taking a break,
or if he's like just taking a break.
Mine's an easy one.
AJ Styles and Samoa Joe.
AJ and Samoa.
Yeah, those are the two.
Chris Sabin.
Yeah.
I love Chris Sabin so much.
Christopher Daniels.
Also,
all good choices
from that triple threat that they did, the Turning Point, that 5-star amazing triple threat classic they had for the X Division title. I was always a Daniels guy. I knew people who loved AJ Styles, and I know people who love Joe, but I always loved Christopher Daniels.
I was a big.
It was just,
Daniels,
and the only reason that he wasn't my answer is because at a certain point, TNA management at least pretended to care about AJ and Joe, whereas Christopher Daniels really never got the respect that he deserved.
Curry Man,
when Val Venus came in to TNA for one show, he beat Christopher Daniels.
Allie, who do you miss from TNA?
Say Christian.
Christian.
That's a good answer. Christian Cage did really well in there. He was so good.
I give the best answers.
You did. You're like Donald Duck. What? I like Donald Duck. He's on DuckTales. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about Raw and SmackDown, and by
real quick,
you always do that.
Sorry, well, if you wouldn't,
did I miss one?
Yeah, so if you wouldn't miss stuff, I wouldn't have to correct you.
Which one did I miss?
Lucha Underground season 4 has been confirmed, and also just reported like an hour and a half ago.
Uh-oh.
They are ending their exclusivity deal, so now the wrestlers who appear on Lucha Underground are no longer tied to Lucha Underground, specifically.
That's great.
Which explains why Sammy Callahan was able to appear at Impact, why Conan is able to be on Impact, Joey Ryan. So that's huge for the wrestlers. I get why Lucha Underground had those exclusivity clauses to keep other promotions from poaching their talent, but this is great for the people who actually work there.
Because they're actually able to make money now whenever they're
outside
doing
their, they're not stuck, you know, oh, we're on a mid-season finale and we don't know when we're going to re-debut.
Yeah. Thanks, Ricochet.
Yep.
I just want to say, when you said that, it made me look at 411 just see if there was anything else we might have missed.
Mm-hmm.
This just made me laugh. The headline is, Becky Lynch explains why people like Sheamus. And her quote, when someone asked her why people like Sheamus, her quote, and I'm sorry for the language, was, shit, I don't know. because look at him. He's this giant 6 foot something, pale as I don't know what, pale as a white egg.
I love Becky.
I love that answer so much.
I'm sorry I went to the bathroom. Did Allie say she missed Curry Man the most?
Christian Cage.
Oh.
That's a good answer. I'm surprised she knew
that. Because I heard, Allie, who did you miss? And I was like, if she just pulled out Curry Man,
I said Curry Man as a joke.
I would have been so proud.
All right, now let's talk about Raw and SmackDown because.
Oh, can we?
It's under siege, Asa. Hashtag. It's awful. Long live the siege.
It's been awful.
One true siege.
One true siege.
So, I don't even know what happened on Raw, because I didn't even bother to look up stuff. Braun Strowman fought Kane.
Yep.
He killed him.
Put him
through, send him to hell.
Put him
again.
Put him through the mat. The big news coming out of it is Bray Wyatt came back. He injured Jason Jordan's leg. Jason Jordan begged and pleaded to keep him on the, and this was good. Like, Jason Jordan did a fantastic job of that, just like
teary-eyed,
like,
I want my shot.
He wants his shot. Yeah, exactly. You know, you won the gold medal with a broken neck. Let me be hurt.
Broken freaking neck.
That. Excuse me. But then Kurt Angle didn't want to make the announcement, doesn't want to make the announcement. Triple H comes out.
After Stephanie said.
Oh, I'm not even talking about.
After Stephanie has emasculated everybody?
Again, because she has to.
She is the worst thing about all of that.
Hands down.
Hands down.
I want to be very clear. We are not talking about Stephanie McMahon, the person.
No,
just the character.
Because
the character.
From everything that I have seen, Stephanie McMahon, the human being, is a very kind, very loving, very generous woman.
Yes.
And I feel like whenever your character name is the same as your real name,
it's hard to distinguish.
And I genuinely think that her as a person gets a lot of unnecessary flack.
For the character work.
For the character work.
Yeah.
But the character of Stephanie McMahon, and I'm not saying this in a way that it's like, oh, I can't wait to see her, get her come up, and it's like, oh, she's a great villain. This is I tune out whenever her character is on because it's so insufferable to watch.
And you know what's going to happen. She's going to cut people down to size. She's never going to get her comeuppance, right, unless Ronda Rousey comes to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
It's boring. It's obnoxious. It's the worst of everything.
Yeah.
It really is.
And so Triple H,
it's grating.
Triple H comes out, says that he's the fifth member of Team Raw, pedigrees Jason Jordan, leaves the ring.
In front of Kurt Angle, who does nothing.
Who is the team captain. And Jason Jordan's father.
Yeah.
So first off, Triple H is the COO. He runs both SmackDown and Raw.
Why?
Why? Why are you? So you are clearly playing favorites. You clearly need Raw to succeed.
Can I add more than what they've added?
Can I take a guess at what you're going to add real quick? And tell me if I'm right.
Because I swear if you say it, I'm going to be really upset that you're talking over me.
Is it because Stephanie runs Raw and he's her
husband? I'm really happy I get talked over a lot.
I'm sorry.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's just like, I mean, you could defend it being like, Angle, you are making my wife look stupid.
Right.
How?
But
because SmackDown is invaded?
Because they attacked one time and now clearly, like Stephanie said, Angle's failing on all fronts.
Well, I mean, but that is the story they are telling, so I am working with the story they are telling.
But their story is garbage.
I mean,
he agrees.
That is not the argument. I'm completely with you.
You're
but
working in the confines of their story.
Yes, I am working within what they have given me, I am adding, which is better than what they're doing right now.
And that's something that they need to address. It's not really hard.
It's not like some of the things that I think of where it's just like, wow, you really tried for that one.
That's true. No. He's come up with some stupid ideas.
Yeah, this one's pretty like, all right, my wife is mad at you. I'm having to deal with this at home.
Remember,
this is affecting my work. Please stop talking over me.
Remember when he said Roman Reigns turn heel, but also Triple H?
Just talk back over him.
Yeah, just
yell
back.
All you have to do. All
right, I quit. Go.
I'm sorry. You're good.
I apologize.
No, we're gonna keep going.
It's funny when I do it.
Like, I don't think it is.
Two people laugh.
And you're not wrong because like, oh, he wants to defend his wife, but they don't bring that up, and it's terrible. Like, that's not a gap that we should fill in. You are the COO of the company. You should be above who is
right and wrong.
Right. We want to be the A show. Okay. So who, if SmackDown wins, do they get a third hour? Does Raw go to 2 hours and SmackDown's 3 hours now?
Oh God.
Is that what's on the line?
That would be amazing.
Hey, so, what did they win whenever they, why have they not brought up that SmackDown won last year?
They did last year, or they did on Tuesday. I think Daniel Bryan mentioned it or Shane mentioned it, one of the two.
Then that should be like, they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, you can either mention that you won last year, but then show that nothing's changed and you're still treated as the B show, or you can ignore that you won last year to just prove that it doesn't matter who wins. This is stupid. Everything about this is stupid.
Yeah, and I
remember that huge cross-promotional match we just had, AJ Styles versus Finn Balor? Cool. That happened.
That should have been a Survivor Series.
I mean, no,
if they're doing cross-promotional stuff.
Right. I don't... It was dumb. I hate Stephanie McMahon running down Kurt Angle and Angle just taking it. I hate all
Well,
of
everyone's
it.
Afraid of Stephanie.
I hate on SmackDown how they start the show by saying they're on high alert. We know Raw's gonna attack. We're on high alert. And just, like, four people show up to defend the New Day and the Usos.
Yup.
Also, you know who didn't show up to defend the New Day and the Usos from Team Raw?
Hmm.
Two of the fucking Team SmackDown members. Where was Orton? Where was Cena?
Oh, yeah.
We all know
Cena was actually there.
Who just previously wrestled on Raw against Roman Reigns. So that the only cool thing that has happened from all of this build is when the Usos ran out to save the New Day, there was that brief pause where the Usos didn't attack Roman and Roman didn't attack the Usos.
Yeah, that was
That
cool.
was the only neat thing. And then.
Okay, I guess, you know what? You just actually solved the thing I had a problem with. I was going to say the thing I hated most was when the Usos came out, ran into the ring to defend the New Day, and then just stood there and got beat up because I didn't notice that it was Roman. Now that you said that, it makes sense.
That was the only cool, like, I understand that the bar cut their promo on, or the Usos cut their promo on the bar and ran them down. I didn't like that the bar is who came to aid the Shield first.
Or just like Roman Reigns standing in the same ring as Braun Strowman. As they tried to kill each other multiple times.
Yeah.
And now they're watching each other's back.
Yeah.
Because of team pride.
Bailey is involved in a multi-person on-one attack.
And she is so awkward when she does that.
Yeah. Because it doesn't fit her at all.
Yeah.
No.
It didn't fit her last year.
Bobby Roode was not featured at all in that, like, he got kicked by Finn. That was it.
And then Finn stood over him the entire time.
And instead we got the Hype Bros and Baron Corbin. And Dolph
Nakamura
Ziggler.
Was there.
And
he got thrown out by Strowman.
And that's how much of an impact that Nakamura had.
How about Charlotte winning the title?
Fine with it. I honestly, like...
A couple of days before the pay-per-view, though, like... And I get that they don't give a shit about their own matches on the show, because otherwise there was no way in hell they would change a title 3 days, four or five days before the pay-per-view, in case anyone was going, oh, well, I kind of want to see Charlotte, or I want to see Natalya versus Alexa Bliss. Well, we're going to just change the champion.
In fairness, every change, like, and I have not liked the quick title changes because there's been three now in the last 2 weeks.
Yes. Yep.
But every one of the matches I am now more excited for.
I agree. I agree with that.
Because I really want to see Charlotte Alexa. I think that'll be fun.
More so than Alexa Natalya.
Yes. Because we saw that on SmackDown.
Mm. Yep.
As much as, like, as cool as Roman and Dean would have been against the Usos, I'm happy that it's Sheamus and Cesaro, because now it means that we get Shield versus New Day.
Yeah.
So, like, again, you crack an egg to make an omelet. And honestly,
AJ versus Brock.
AJ Brock is like, and again, the promo, like, just the two shows of promos we got.
Oh, yeah, no.
Way better than what I was getting with Heyman against Mahal, and then Mahal against Heyman and Lesnar.
We're gonna put a pin on that, just real quick, because I agree that I'm more excited for Alexa versus Charlotte. I think you get the great hometown moment of Charlotte winning the championship in her hometown.
Right during the hype of Ric Flair with
exactly.
30 on 30 and
stuff. Ric Flair appearing.
Right.
Which, whether or not that was an actual surprise, I don't know, but that was a sweet moment. You can't take that away. If it was manufactured or not, it worked.
Yeah. I did like what I put in the group chat.
And I love the idea of, because Alexa Bliss at this point, I think someone did the math, and she has been a champion since being on the main roster like 60% of the time.
Yeah.
Of course, wasn't the last time that Flair was there with Charlotte was when he endorsed Sasha instead and walked out on Charlotte?
But Flair almost died.
That's true.
The Michael Cole, like, when you almost die, the storyline gets dropped.
That's true.
And Charlotte's a good guy now, so. And also the story of, you know, the queen, Charlotte.
Versus the goddess. I love that.
That is a match that deserves more than 4 days.
All of these matches.
Of a build.
All of these matches. New Day versus Shield. That's super. Even the bar versus the Usos.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a great match.
Did you watch the promo that they cut on the bar?
Yes.
Of just like, it was us two last year. You're not going to get us again.
Yeah.
Like, that was awesome.
I like the women's change. When you put it where, okay, now we're getting the Shield versus the New Day, I'm happier with that because I would have loved to see Seth and Dean versus the Usos. Mm-hmm. And I still want to see that match somewhere down the line. And then, of course, the thing that we're going to come back to with the Heyman promo Heyman's promo where he's praising AJ on Monday was great. I loved that, you know, the point F5. Heyman is so good. He's so good. It's unfair.
And the missed opportunity in the Daniel Bryan one was just like, he didn't say point P1. Like, I mean, you already
what's did point P1?
Phenomenal one.
Shit.
See, and that's why I think that's a little bit more of a reach than what F5 is. So, but that said, and I think Daniel Bryan cut the promo of his career. I think in his head, Daniel Bryan was pretending he's facing Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, no,
Sunday.
I thought that whenever I heard it,
because that's a match he wanted to have anyway. So now he's hyping up AJ Styles, and that was probably the best promo he's ever cut.
Did you watch it at all, Shannon?
No, I missed it.
That's something you should go out of your way to see. Because he starts out just kind of mocking Heyman as the advocate.
Yeah, because he said he was like, us here on SmackDown, we treat our champions as good, if not better, because Styles comes out with like a microphone and is about to talk, and he's like, before I stop you, we treat our champions the same, if not better, as Raw. Raw's champion has an advocate, and I'm wondering if you would like an advocate. So Styles just like, they do the yes thing, and then he lets him go, and then, yeah, Daniel Bryan then just proceeds to run shop.
It was awesome to see.
Didn't Daniel Bryan also say that he needed to talk to Shane?
Yeah.
Once Survivor Series is over?
That was later.
Well, the way I read it, it almost like it was hinting at maybe Bryan.
There's some dissension.
What I read, and I'm sure I'm wrong because I haven't seen it myself, was that, well, is this going to be Bryan maybe coming to wrestle again?
That's been everything for the last year.
Yeah. Before we get to that, I want to get to my point. The only difference that where Mahal versus Lesnar is more entertaining, if I get more promos of Heyman just verbally eviscerating
Jinder
Mahal, holy, that was rough to watch. I went back and rewatched it, and
you're not our contemporary. You're not our. That was rough.
I haven't seen that either. Which Raw was
this? This was immediately after Jinder issued the challenge to Brock Lesnar on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. The next Raw, Heyman accepted, and that's where we really got that first build of Raw versus SmackDown. And it's that thing where, you know, they always say like, well, you don't just run down your opponent because then who did you beat?
You have to build him up at the same time.
He kind of forgot to build up Jinder.
Well, that was kind of the point. It was just like,
oh no, that was the point. But
and it's one of those like you forget how good Heyman is until he does something that's not what he usually does. Because usually it's like whenever he build up, like even he was still putting Joe and Strowman over while he was running down Mahal.
More so than he put over Mahal.
Yeah. It's one of those like, you're so good, and I forget how good you are until you do something that is not what you usually do.
Watch him do the promo against Mahal, and then watch him do the promo against AJ.
Night and day.
It's like, oh, I respect this one.
Yeah, this is a good one.
That's kind of rough after.
And then Mahal doesn't
Mahal
get the match.
Loses the title. Yeah, that's rough.
And that's what I was saying last week, is it's like, boy, that's kind of a. Who?
Chad would say he got eviscerated. Do you have the Survivor Series card list?
I think I have it memorized.
5 seconds. I mean, it's pretty.
Are there any matches that we didn't talk about?
Kalisto and Enzo are the pre-show.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe Hype Bros, Sledge Brothers?
I don't even think we got. No, no, no.
I don't think that's been announced.
Because I know Zach, they challenged them on SmackDown.
Did they?
In a Fallout video or something like that. That may be a pre-show match.
Let me see if anything's been.
Well, we'll start it at 6 and see if it's the opener.
Poor things.
Oh,
why would you challenge them?
There is a match that we didn't talk about. The Team Raw versus Team SmackDown women's match.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about it.
Alicia Fox, Nia Jax, Asuka, Sasha Banks, and Bayley versus Becky Lynch, Carmella, Naomi, Tamina, and question mark.
You just answered your own question that Raw would win because of Asuka. But the big question of this is, who's going to be the mystery person?
Or do they add a caveat now Asuka's undefeated in one-on-one matches?
Or they could take Asuka out.
Like they do with Strowman.
Yeah.
Where she gets like counted out because Asuka's still never been pinned or submitted.
She has to. The big question is who's going to take that fifth spot? A lot of people think it's Natalya just because she lost the match. So now she's open.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. The heavy favorites are it's Natalya, Nikki Bella, or Paige. That's the three.
And what's sad is Lana's nowhere in the conversation. She's literally listed as their valet.
Oof. Well, I mean, storyline wise, if you had to pick between even Nikki Bella and Lana, you'd pick Nikki Bella.
Right.
You know, storyline wise. Well, and in ring ability too. but who do you think it's going to be? Because Paige was at Raw. And did you hear Dalton, Asa, Allie? Did you hear that the reason she wasn't used on Raw? Did you hear why? Apparently she took a selfie with Alicia Fox before the show and posted it.
It was with Renee Young.
No, there's one with Alicia Fox.
Oh, was
too.
There? Yeah, I saw the one with Renee Young.
No, I guarantee you. I didn't know about the Renee Young one. But they were upset because it was supposed to be a surprise and then she's posting this picture. I don't know if that's true or not. That's internet speculation.
Cause I said, like, I said that night on the in the group chat, Paige is backstage at Raw cause she took a video with Renee.
So she could have done
both.
Well,
and there were also pictures leaked of her that going of in. Her at
yeah,
Raw.
But there's a difference between a fan catching her.
That's fair.
And her going like, look where I am.
Yeah,
click.
That's fair.
But if that's true, if she wasn't Raw and they didn't use her for that reason, I don't feel like they would move her to SmackDown
unless
to fill the spot.
Unless they're doing it to start a story where she turns on SmackDown. Because she, technically, I think she was drafted to Raw.
She was.
Before she got suspended yeah. and injured.
Nikki Bella is a possibility.
Yeah.
She just finished Dancing with the Stars, but I think Dalton, you said she still has a bum neck, doesn't she?
I mean, her neck, I don't, it's one of those like, and we talked about it, I don't want to see anybody get more hurt than what they are, and I didn't know if she was on borrowed time when she came back.
Yeah.
But like, she said she does want to wrestle again.
I mean, and if she can go, I want her to, but I would much rather see Paige in that spot than Nikki Bella.
I think Paige would be the bigger surprise. You know, like, yeah. Paige would be the, oh wow, it's Paige.
Yeah,
as opposed
people,
to Nikki
I don't
Bella.
Think people would have that reaction to Nikki Bella. I no. mean, but Cena's there at the show too, so.
And I mean, Nikki Bella makes sense because, I mean, again, storyline wise, she was
at SmackDown last.
And she was a dominant champion.
It's also very sad that we're just totally overlooking Natalya. Because I feel like she did get kind of an unfair shake with her title
well,
run.
It's the
and,
same thing agreed. With like, all right, so Mahal just lost the mm-hmm. belt and they didn't announce Cena yet.
Yeah.
So
no,
I mean,
yeah, same.
Do I want the or, person that just lost their
or,
belt?
Or Rusev. Congratulations to John Cena earning his shots fair and square.
Tiger.
God, I love Rusev.
So it looks like, I mean, it's going to be a fun show,
then,
though.
Yeah, Intercontinental Champion The Miz versus U.S. Champion Baron Corbin.
No thanks.
The promos for it. Like,
I don't want to see Miz lose.
He's not, I don't think he's going to.
I think Corbin's going to take it.
Yeah. Unless they do what they did last year where Raw wins every match except for the big one. Or the main one, I should say.
From what
that
I read,
was last year. That was horrible.
I mean, if you believe the internet has said that Raw is supposed to win the entire event, like 3-2, where it's, Raw is going to edge it.
Mm-hmm.
And that they would win the women's match.
Man, you can't do that. If you have SmackDown fighting because they think they're the dominant show, you can't just have Raw win.
That decisively.
Well, I mean, again, you know what? Screw it. Maybe you do because
what does it matter?
What does SmackDown gain if they do win?
Because
no one's going to remember this in 3 months.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Like, if everything they're saying about WrestleMania is true and they're like, no, we want Triple H versus Angle, Raw cannot win the main match.
Yeah, because then that blows away their argument.
Good job, buddy. Like, what do you get from that?
Watch Angle probably get the pin, too.
This is the one thing that I will say to for all of the build and everything that we've seen of Survivor Series, I genuinely don't know who's going to win a lot of these matches.
Yeah.
But the big one with the Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, this is going to be an overbooked mess.
Yeah.
Because, okay, you have Kane can come and screw over Strowman. Balor and Joe can, even though they work together surprisingly well on Raw, that could still blow up in their face. You have the Triple H versus Kurt Angle supposed WrestleMania match, which, by the way, who is clamoring for Triple H versus Kurt Angle at WrestleMania when you have the roster?
Yeah.
Kurt Angle and Triple H have had their matches. They have not had great chemistry together. Like,
some of them were not good for that match.
No, and that's it. And
Vince.
Yeah, so, and then on the SmackDown side, you have the possible, Daniel Bryan could be the one who led in Team Raw. Falling out with Shane McMahon. You have whoever wants to feud with Cena next, whatever he's going to do at WrestleMania. Good for Bobby Roode for being there.
And Nakamura.
Because look at that team.
Hey guys,
I mean,
thanks for showing up. It's that thing, yeah.
Because even Nakamura, like, he has that New Japan NXT clout that I feel like Rude lost because his character is so wildly different. Whereas Nakamura has been from New Japan
just being
to
a weirdo.
NXT to WWE. Yeah, I don't know. But that there's a lot of weird infighting or outside interference that could happen here that I'm kind of excited about.
Only in the main one.
I mean, well,
Even the women's match doesn't have that drama.
Like, Raw has to win that women's match, right?
Oh, with Asuka, yeah.
Yeah, Asuka, Nia Jax.
And that's why, like, do you have Paige come back for a losing effort? Or do you just put Natalya in that spot and go, well, you're going to lose anyway?
So, right. Can I say what I like, and I thought about this earlier this week of what, like, a really good pre-show match would have been, is just, like, another just big battle royal between the two brands.
Just throw everybody in that's not on the show already.
Yeah,
the hype bros.
Do you do Team SmackDown versus Team Raw, or just everybody who's not on the card? Just throw them in together, and then whoever wins.
And everybody wear like SmackDown or Raw shirts. Yeah,
yeah,
Yeah, that's.
Okay. I know. I was just asking. Like,
yeah,
I know
no. I mean, have everybody do that for the color? Like that way, you see the colors like going in and out, mm-hmm. and then you see some cohesion, and then like say it's down to two raw guys, and then you get that battle
right.
royal.
That is one thing that I liked. I feel like if it comes down to like two on the one, then that should just that show wins. Like you don't go down to one like, winner. Yeah, because if you're doing Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, it makes no sense to have.
Because like they've Money in the Bank's completely off the table now. That'd have been a good time being like you get a contract for a match.
Yeah, three from each show. Just real quick, one thing that I liked from SmackDown is something that Seth Rollins did last year, where the Shield comes out and they're wearing the split shirts.
All three of the Shield were wearing the split shirts.
Half Shield, half Raw.
I hated that shirt.
No, it's stupid. It's awful, and it's not something that I would ever want to wear or that I think they should release. But
as a one-off,
but
it's
at
neat.
Least it built some sort of okay, we're the brand loyalty because last year Dean Ambrose was a member of SmackDown, and now he has this fierce loyalty to Raw because he's there.
It's more so the Shield.
It's stupid.
All right, so here's the ending to the show. Raw and SmackDown, they're going at it, they're beating each other up, and then before the final pinfall. NXT comes out, beats them all up, says it's our time.
That's what this should have been from day one. This should have, if Triple H is going to be on a team, he should be on Team NXT.
Do you think they should use two rings?
Maybe three.
I was actually going to say we are also completely overlooking War Games.
Is that Saturday?
Yeah. Oh. I'm going to miss it. I'm really mad.
So just real quick, we won't get to see this because it's only for the live crowd. UK Championship, Pete Dunne versus Johnny Gargano.
Rebel Heart.
Ugh.
The whole shebang.
Love that song.
Ember Moon versus Kairi Sane versus Nikki Cross versus Peyton Royce for Fatal 4-Way for the vacant NXT Women's Championship.
Yeah, please.
Drew McIntyre versus Andrade Cien Almas for the NXT Championship. Good for Almas. Love to see him in this spot.
I almost missed him.
Cassius Ohno versus Lars Sullivan. That'll be fun. That's just going to be stupid.
The guy from 2K18?
The guy from 2K18 with the horror movie intro. The War Games match. The Authors of Pain and Roderick Strong versus Sanity versus the Undisputed Era. That'll be fun. But the match that I'm legitimately most excited for and that I really think that they did the best job building up to between Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, Aleister Black versus the Velveteen Dream.
That's going to be so...
The build and the promos and the interactions between these two guys has been incredible.
He only calls him Patrick and he gets so mad.
I've never seen Velveteen Dream still. Ever.
You need to look up some of these bits that they've done together because it's incredible. And it's one I have no idea who's gonna win.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
With Aleister Black in there?
Aleister and the Velveteen Dream is undefeated.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure he's undefeated in NXT.
I think he's lost some. Because I think he re-debuted and lost.
That's what it was.
That
okay.
name, though.
Oh, no. He should be the Velveteen Dream Patrick Clark.
But he's not, and it's awesome.
But he's not, and I get it. Like, I understand that that's a thing, that is a choice that they made, and I understand it. It's just not what my preference is.
Oh, I love it.
But, oh, no, and I totally understand that. I'm not saying that my viewpoint is right or wrong.
Yeah.
Just, that's what I would like. But, and Aleister Black, of course, is bae.
Cause it's
I
the whole,
him.
Like.
Inside the ring, outside the ring, like, his Twitter is just a beacon of hope and love, and I love
and
it.
And, like, the whole, like, and that's my favorite thing with the whole Aleister Black Velveteen Dream thing, is that Aleister Black does not call him Velveteen Dream. He calls him Patrick. And, like, he reacts kind of like a Stardust Cody as, like, way. Where he's just like, he gets real uneasy about it. And that's what's building this feud. And it's awesome.
And also him just kind of stalking Aleister Black.
Yeah.
There's a thing where it's like almost a close up on Aleister Black, and then it just all of us out of nowhere because he wasn't behind him, but Velveteen Dream just stands up behind him, like over his shoulder.
It's beautiful.
This sounds almost like Gold Dust levels, like old school Gold Dust.
It's shades of it, but he has embraced this and made it his own, and it's incredible.
Is Dream the bad guy?
Yeah, like he's the heel, but it's one of those things where it's not. It's shades of gray.
Yeah.
It's shades of gray. He does, like, the stuff he does leans more on the heel side.
Gotcha.
And Aleister Black is a pretty just solid face, but.
Well, it sounds like an exciting weekend of wrestling.
Yes.
Who's winning War Games? Let's do this one really quick.
Undisputed Era.
I'm going with Sanity.
Alethea?
Someone's gonna win.
She would have been the prediction champion.
Somebody's gonna get their ass kicked.
tell me if
somebody gonna get their work.
If split? Your reason is different, I think Undisputed Era because that puts Adam Cole to face Drew McIntyre for the NXT Championship. Because as much as I love Almas and I think he should have that NXT Championship, he's not gonna win it Saturday. Mm-hmm. So Adam Cole gets put that elevates his stock to where he can justifiably feud with McIntyre that also then elevates Fish and O'Reilly to be able to feud with Sanity for the NXT Tag Champs.
That makes sense.
My reasoning is because I talked to Kyle O'Reilly once.
Also that. Close person. Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Kyle O'Reilly.
Former castmate. Kyle O'Reilly. Oh, God. All right. We got to get out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in. And we were talking about Patreon earlier.
Yes.
You can actually support us via Patreon at patreon.com/podzilla1985. Did you know that?
We are also at a point where we're
Have you heard?
Starting to get really look at new soundboards.
Yeah. This thing.
This is ours is
Fiddling with this thing ain't fun. We'd like to. Oh God. Okay. Well, we gotta get here. The cops
That's the emergency.
Cops are breaking in.
That's how much we need this Patreon. Help us out.
Podzilla1985.com. Go listen to the old shows and Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. We are on track for another monster month. I didn't think we'd make it because we've missed so many shows this month.
Mm-hmm.
We're crushing last month's numbers. It's insane.
Crush it like you should crush that subscribe button on whatever podcasting service
like
you use.
Lainey.
Allie hates me.
Be like Zane and support us. That's the new campaign. Be like Lainey.
I thought it was Be Like Zane.
Lainey sounds better. Be like Zane Lainey. Same guy. Great guy.
Zaney.
His ears are burning right now. Assuming he's not lifting. He's looking real jacked, man.
Be like Lane? Because Zane Lane, then you switch the...
Zane. Oh, so Lane Zaney and Zane Lainey are like Austin Lane and Lane Austin.
We've already got way too many Lanes and Austins and Zaneys. And we only have one Zaney in our life. And we love him.
We do. He's the best. All right. We got to get out of here, guys. See you guys tomorrow. For Nostalgia November, because that's what it is, not Pokemon Month. Who cares? It's a show tomorrow, and I'm going to get real mad about Marvel Heroes. We actually have a couple things we're going to talk about tomorrow that makes us very angry. So it should be a fun show.
Oh, yeah. We missed the Happy Rusev Day.
Happy. Good night.